What up, Joe? How you been, man?
Been good, Mike. How you doing, man?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you. So, you know me, dude. I don't beat around the bush, dude. Like, maybe, how is your shop going, dude?
It's good. I've been in there for shoot. I think it's like 9 months now. Man, it's gone by in a heartbeat. And I love it. I love it. I have no regrets about it. I feel like it was a natural progression. It's challenging. I'm transitioning into a place where I think that I'm not just a technician anymore. I'm an estimator and a PR person. And because what I'm doing now, Mike, is, I've done a lot more marketing now, and thanks with your help and us doing the videos and stuff, and those seeds that we've planted all these years, they're finally starting to bear fruit, and I'm getting calls. And what's happening is I'll be working on one car or a couple cars with small dings, and I'll have a few estimates come in for PDR. And so what's happening is it's the smaller dents are taking me longer than they ever did, because I can't just put my head down and work anymore. I'm also Mr. Dan Evo now, you know. So ideally, I like having a large repair, like a high ticket repair that maybe is in there for a couple of days, and then bring in estimates and do small jobs on, because the small jobs are important. They are important
They said
because
they
they.
could set up your next job, dude, right? Or your next big job, because they know you can do that job, right?
Dude, I've had a couple in there, a couple of these cars that they started out, the clients that started out as just a ding on a Tesla or whatever, and $300 job or whatever. And then a couple months later, another one, the same customer coming back with another small ding. And then a third time, and this is all within like 9 months. This is just one example, and it's happened a few times, but where that initial lead that started out as a tiny dent on a body line or whatever, then his fiance, this same gentleman, his fiance, she got backed into on her VW Atlas, and that turned into a $4,500 job, dude, and insurance pay, And so you can't make light of those tiny dents. You have to make room for them. Some of them have turned into PPF jobs, and I don't know if our homies here who are listening know that, you and I got kind of into PPF a little bit, and I went to training last year.
Well,
And
hold on. Let's back up, Joe, because I think we're putting the cart before the horse. This is actually the first podcast that you are actually like mentioned you have a shop. Because
really?
we really haven't mentioned you had a shop. Like,
Okay.
at least I don't remember officially re mentioning a shop.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So
We haven't done a lot of podcasts, huh?
we haven't done a lot of podcasts at all because of your shop, right? Not in a bad way. You were. Dude, you had your head down. You were getting into PPF. You're going to training for PPF. And you're building the shop. You had setbacks a little bit there, like or the permit, the city stuff. I mean, like this stuff was like you were like, I'm sorry to be, I'm kind of just summarizing like all the occupations as you're busy. I see you're occupied. Right, with all these things going on. So, and for a while I just didn't I did a I think I did a podcast or two in between, Joe, when you weren't doing it, but other than that we just kind of waited till pretty much now. So sorry, I'm just didn't I'm trying to let the kind of let people know the scoop here, but you can summarize after, you can tell your stories now.
Yeah, no, I apologize, because I guess I didn't realize that, because I mean, I feel like the podcast is and our conversations on here are kind of an extension of our conversations with our friends, on social media and stuff. And I forget that, and so a lot of my of our viewers and our buddies basically who watch my stuff on, you know, social media when I decide to post once in a great while is, you know, a lot of them know that I have a shop already, and it's a little shop. It's nothing big, you know, but it's been fun. It's been interesting. I feel like I could do my best work in there. I felt like that way about mobile too. I miss mobile to some degree, and I don't think there's anything that I can do in the shop that I couldn't do mobile, honestly. In fact, it was fun mobile because it was creative. Like I had to get really creative, but the problem I had with mobile is people undervaluing my service because I went in, I feel like mobile should cost more than being in a shop because, you know,
after you've already know what the shop is like.
Yeah.
Right, Joe? It's an inconvenience to pack up or bring limited tools with you and then make it work when you don't, you know, there's another tool you could go get. It's an inconvenience factor for you personally.
Well, it is. It's especially inconvenient now because, you know, I didn't just go and buy a whole new set of tools. You know, I invested quite a bit in the PPF, I'm a certified authorized dealer is what it is for a certain brand of PPF. And so there's other, I've got money going towards certain other aspects of the business where I can basically offer other services to my existing clients and who I've built all this trust with, and which is great. That's a whole other side of the business that is I'm learning so much with. But what I'm trying to say is that I didn't go and buy a duplicate set of tools. I basically use the tools that are in my truck still, you know what I mean? And, yeah. So when I have to go mobile, I got to put everything back in the truck. Now I don't put all my stuff back in the truck because some of it stays in the shop, but going back to it, I feel like mobile should be more. I mean, it's a hell of a valuable service to people. You know, I think I got a little disheartened over those years if I'm being honest, because I really hit it hard mobile, you know, Mike, in the last 4 to 5 years, I really pushed hard to do the hardest jobs I could do and make them as clean and almost perfect as I could get. And on a mobile basis, because I really felt strongly about that. Hey, this is not only are we offering you this awesome, valuable service to make your car completely as pre-loss condition, right? But we're doing it without painting it. We're doing it in your driveway, at your doorstep. And I couldn't fathom why local consumers or prospects, whatever you want to call them, couldn't see the value in that, you know?
Go ahead.
You know,
we had the same thing.
It bothered me, you know? But at the same time, I knew that I was realistic enough to know that, okay, it was a smaller segment of the local consumer market who was interested in not settling for less, you know? Right. And so I presented myself as like, okay, this is the unprecedented, there's another word, I'll think of it, but like where you're just like the authority on the subject. And so that's how I've presented myself in a lot of ways and on my videos and stuff. And to some people, it rings true. Not everybody, you know, but to some people it doesn't. To those who it does, they love the service and they don't mind coming to my shop.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know. Let me put it this way. This is kind of like messed up, but it's true. Joe, you didn't know. I didn't know. And the mobile techs out there right now listening don't know until you know. And what I mean by that is when you're in a shop, you finally get your shop. You have clients that come to you and go, yeah, I didn't want that mobile service, man, because I just don't trust that. I want to come to a shop, man. Like I want to come to a shop, and this is what I really wanted to come here for, because look, I really like the way you have your shop here. I feel comfortable. And I feel like you guys, bringing it to the shop, I feel like you guys, I can trust that you'll do it right. That in those, I'm paraphrasing for the general, but I get reactions like that at least two or three times a month that come to my shop. So that's why I'm saying you don't know until you know.
Yeah. And that fact right there, that is true with some consumers. It seems unfair, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, and I'm not, believe me, Joe, I'm not trying to put down any of the mobile techs out there.
No, neither am I. I am one. You are too.
We're still mobile, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Tim and John make a living doing mobile. John's in the shop a lot doing some dents. Yeah. Like when I'm training, he's doing the big dents so I can continue my training, but not putting down the mobile. I'm just saying, like, going back to touch base, what you're saying, Joe, about, you know, people you and Bryce, I think were the only ones I know publicly. Maybe I'd be wrong that you would take doors off and take things apart, take the window out. I mean, do the whole nine yards. I don't know how much deeper. And you didn't have like a professional easy door holder either. You had a jack and a basket holder that holds it. Right. And you're just doing it all by yourself, man. There is no way. Still, right now, I don't think I want to do all that myself, dude. Like, gotta commend you, Joe, on that, dude.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, I know it's like some people in our industry don't, like, they look down on that, they frown on that or whatever, and they say it gives our industry a bad, you know, image. But honestly, I take pride in it because it conditioned me to be able to do a lot, you know. I was excited. I went to this point where I kind of like, it was exciting for me to kind of scout out the job, you know, like I usually, that's the thing too. It's like, I had to make an early visit to do the assessment and estimate it. And, you know, and then when the customer said, yeah, I want to do it, when can you do it? Well, then I'd schedule it for, you know, another day when I had the time and get there early enough that I could take everything apart, fix the dent as clean as I can, get it back together before sundown, you know? And there's something kind of like, I thought it was kind of badass, you know? I felt like it was very empowering to be able to learn to do that in a driveway and knowing that it would piss some people off, you know, or some people would look down on it. But I take that with me. I carry that into my shop with me. And I mean, it's so empowering. I encourage people to do that, to try it. Like, cause it's, yeah, you're taking risks and yeah, you could break something. Yeah. Something could go wrong, but you figure it out. Yeah. You figure it out. That's how you learn. It's a diamond in the rough kind of thing, you know? And, you build a lot of trust.
If you want to figure it out. I mean, like I said, if you really want it, you'll find a way. That's you, Joe. If you don't, you'll find an excuse, and that's everyone else, including me. Okay, so
myself too, man.
Listen, Joe, stop being so freaking, like, I'm just telling you, you're freaking, like, you're very unique into that thing, and I know people do know that. Okay, this isn't an ass kicking, blow smoke up your butt, Joe. Right? We all know how your demeanor is, and you're very articulate, you're very methodical and patient, and all that. We know that. So you can't deny that. But there's techs like myself. I'm in the middle, right? I'm in the middle. I can change gears. You only have one gear, dude. Like I've seen you. I mean, I've been trying. We've worked tons of dents together. I've pushed you to see, like, let's go, Joe, let's go. But no, Joe, even with Mike Toledo telling you, let's go, you still find a way to find this, keep your pace. Right, you don't do it. So that's what I'm trying to say, if that makes sense. Okay. I don't know where I'm going at, but I'm just saying, dude, like you're the 1%er of that type of tech, right?
Oh, so thanks, man. Appreciate that, Mike.
On another note though, Joe, like, you don't have to be the best tech in this industry to make a damn good living. Now, I'm not saying don't care about, like, what you, like, don't care about your work or don't you know, are you cut corners and stuff? I'm just saying there's a lot of, I just think if you try your best, then you're doing your best. Honestly, that's what I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. And I think that's true. I mean, I'm not the best tech around, you know, I mean, I'm no slouch, trust me. I know when I've had my victories, and I've had a lot of failures too that have earned me those victories, you know, but, I think that I'm not the best tech around, you know, what I'm really good at.
Does it matter, Joe?
No,
literally, dude.
Well, look, I don't do Bryce Kelly smashes. I don't want anything to do with that stuff. You know, that's not profitable to me, even at a high ticket, you know, price guide thing.
Well, we do
mean, unless you're making,
kind of, we do those kind of smashes. Do we really want to do them all the time, every time? I've had conversations with Bryce, you know, and before he was training, he called me and asked me, you know, what do I think about training and yada, yada. And he says these big dents are taking a toll on him. So don't tell me, you know, these hero dents aren't going to take a toll on you, right? Do you want to consistently do them all the time? No. But all I'm saying, Joe, is that you don't have to be the best tech. You, like I say, you just have to try really super hard, dude.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's all relative, you know, and I think it's how you serve your client, you know, your ideal client. You know, what kind of client do you want? I mean, you know, there's no shame in saying, you know, my ideal client has a dent that is smaller than a credit card and within that realm, and I will not take glass out. I will not R&I anything, and I'm going to stay within this wheelhouse. Yeah. And I think that a guy can be somebody who can at least fix a dent mm-hmm. cleanly and stay within that realm can probably have a system that, whether it's mobile or shop, you know,
I think you're right. Subconsciously techs choose who they want to be. They don't say it out loud. They're not as conscious about what they want to do.
Right.
But they'll turn down certain dents because they know it's going to involve certain things beyond just pushing the dent, right? Getting to the dent, R&I in the dent.
Yes.
Is this vehicle more likely to pull paint? Things like that. And by the way, not to go off track, but real quick, one of Shane Jack's customers calls me. He's in town. His daughter has a vehicle here in San Diego. She has dents in it. He goes, I had a guy from, you know, South Carolina fix his hails, and he did a great job. I'm like, well, who is he? Because I'm pretty familiar with Tex, you know. He said, Shane something, Shane. I was like, all right. So he sends me a thing. It was Shane Jackson. I was like, yeah, I know that guy. I go, but anyways, he was a person that came in.
Right.
And the thing was, I was getting at, Joe, is that this person had I think a 2022 or 23 RAV4, okay, the newer one,
yeah,
with the bottle strip gray.
Right.
The thing is that he wanted to come there because he wanted a shop environment. He didn't want it because he's already been to Shane's and he wanted the same expectations.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right. But the thing about the paint I was talking about, have you pulled paint on these later Tacomas and Tundras and yada and 4Runners?
I have not, but I am also always a little bit leery about how I go about glue pulling on Japanese and domestic cars, because I feel like I have pulled paint in the past on any of the Japanese cars and American cars.
Well, newsflash, everybody, and then we'll get back to Joe, is that those Toyotas, the paints, they remind me of the Subarus now, because the old
Subarus, right?
Yeah, they pull paint like one out of three of them.
Really?
Right. So I don't know what it is, but yeah, we did a 22 4Runner like last 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and see, with our customers, Joe, is that we warn the clients that there's a 10% chance that we could pull the paint. And I tell the client, if no one else is telling you the same, or at least giving you a warning, they don't have to give you a percentage, but advising you that they're not responsible about pulling your paint, then they're not being honest, because these pull paint. So anyways, we go to pull the third dent and it freaking pulled paint. All right. So this client came in with the RAV4 and I said, no, I'm going to be very truthful, gentlemen, everybody. So I could easily glue pull these dents. I told the client, listen, there's a 10% chance that I could pull the paint, but I'm not liable. But it's not likely, but I do want to let you know that we pulled paint probably one out of every three Toyotas we've done in the last like 4 months or whatever.
Right.
He says he didn't want to take that chance. I said, okay, good. No, it's fine. He goes, well, is there anything else you can do to get to it? I said, I can make an access point underneath the wheel well. And then when I'm done, I plug it and it's all good. He said, fine. So honesty pays, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have to take apart the whole car for a small door ding? Do you want to do that? You have to make choices, right? I didn't give him the option. I could do that, but I'm telling you, I probably would have charged $400 to gut the car out just to get to the dent. So right. I knew that wasn't going to be on it, on his plate. But anyhow, Joe, that was, I was just mentioning that.
Well, that was a connection you had with your client, and he trusted you to make the right call. And it was the right call in the end, because it was something he was happy with, right? And you solved this problem. Yeah, I think that's it. I think if there is a lot to be said about being able to challenge yourself. And we did an episode about this, you know, a while back about, you know, do you stay in your lane or do you venture off onto the edges and occasionally fall over the edge, you know, by pushing the limits. And I think it's always good to push the limits, your own limits. But I think it's also important to learn the lessons of pushing those limits and learn where your sweet spot is and how you relate to your client, your ideal client, you know.
That's right.
And yeah. And who your, knowing who, it forces you to know who your ideal client is and then communicate to them. You know, whether it's through your videos and your marketing, and while you're working on one of your ideal client's cars, you're almost, if you're videoing your repair, you're now speaking to your future ideal client, right? And that could be a big smash if that's your thing, or it could be little dents, you know, or something in between, anywhere in between. And like for me, being able to do those large, gnarly dents, and then especially when I was really taking them on, earlier in my career, before I was using lateral tension and all that stuff, and I was chewing some stuff up, I'm not gonna lie, and I also learned how to price stuff. And what I also learned over the years, and even to this day, is like, okay, some of these jobs, even though I can fix them, I know I can do them justice, it's gonna take me too long that it's almost not even worth it unless we can, you know, file a claim. If the customer can file a claim and we can get somewhere near conventional or more, you know, and justify it to the adjuster, and then it might be worth it, you know. Yeah. Or sometimes it's still not worth it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I had a customer call me today, and you know, like I said, this podcast is gonna be pretty truthful with everything, but he's another Rivian client. Right. From San Jose. I don't know why they're coming from the north area.
Central Valley.
Nonetheless, he messages me and I said, do you mind if I give you a call? He said, no, no problem. So I give him a call. We're talking maybe like I don't know, 6-inch dent, soft kind of dent. But still near the bottom of the edge, we're going to have to drop the bumper or we're going to glue pull. Okay. Either one.
Okay. Is this the truck or the SUV?
It's the truck. Okay. And so it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't dangerously bad, but I knew the value of what I would charge for there. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to give you a range between $1,500 and $2,200 for this dent.
Yeah.
He said, Mike, that's awesome. I'm in San Jose. So I will call you back because I'm going to probably schedule something in the future. I said, okay. So like 10 minutes later, he just sends me a text. You know, Mike, this is out of my budget. Now, he didn't say anything to give me any kind of indication about any idea that I'm about to tell you, but I do have a thought And it's, I guess it's just like any other thought. Maybe people have this too, but the Rivians are like, they pay well. The clients are generally pretty good that you deal with, that who are, they're picky people. It's a very good paying repair. What I'm concerned with is that these dents, once your experience gets caught up to you and you understand how to remove the bumper off the Rivian, you know how to get to the access, or they watch a video like what you and I did. We glue pulled the whole thing because this is the one of the best paints you can glue pull.
Yeah.
That I feel like they're going to, as they get more experience and they get faster at doing these Rivians, that they're going to drop their price. And other people who don't understand about the pricing will underbid it to the people who are looking for the best price, but don't understand they're looking for the best quality in the end. So I got that feeling today, and I'm usually pretty right, because he replied back to me pretty fast.
Right.
So do you have the same inkling about that? Do you have the, what's your thoughts on that, Joe?
Well, I when you're explaining that, you know, I was kind of thinking like maybe like right away we think, you know, oh, red flag, that maybe he found somebody else who was less, you know, less price, lower price. Maybe, or maybe not. Maybe we're, I mean, is that what you were feeling like?
But listen, it's not just that guy. All right. Yeah. Let's forget this guy. Okay. Let's just, what about the future Rivians, right?
Yeah. Well, to answer your question though.
Yeah.
And not to interrupt, but isn't that like, just like equilibrium, almost like in economics, when you have supply and demand, right? And we have a supply of PDR service providers in any of our given areas where we're at, you know, if you're closer to a larger population, there's going to be obviously more higher supply of PDR professionals, right? And so you get that higher supply, the demand kind of lowers, and it, so the price kind of stabilizes, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's going to happen. You know, you're going to get people who are going to do it for less.
Yeah, that's what I was getting your thought on that. You know, it's, look, here's my deal, dude. We look for the next best thing, right? I mean, not the best, you know, meaning, let me put it in perspective, guys, ladies. Like when Rivian came out, I freaking knew I knew it was gonna be a good car to freaking target, right? Same with Lexus or anything else. What is if the Cybertruck wasn't built like it is, dude, that would be the freaking next one, dude. Right? You're targeting Cybertruck, but you're right, Joe. Right? It's just, listen, man. It's not the car. What I realized, Joe, do you understand where I'm going? It's not the car that's going to make you, like, get you the pay that you want. It's the client driving the car. Yes. It's the client's mentality, that who they're looking for to fix their car. It's not the car.
Right.
Decide. You know what I mean? So that makes
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, you proved that last winter when you had those two Rivians show up from the same place on earth. You know, they both came from Fresno, and one was your ideal client and one was not. And when that one was not, you had the audacity to say, hey, you know what, come and get your car and leave my shop, you know? And I admire you for that, you know, 'cause a lot of guys would have just said, okay, you know, just bend over and do the,
I think you would have done it too, Joe. Honestly, I know you. Probably, I know you. I think you would have done it too.
I absolutely would have. You know, I mean, to a point. You know, I think, I mean, because it makes sense to want to. We want to promote our business, right? And hey, I'm the Rivian specialist. Look what I did. You know, look. You know, so I don't fault anybody for doing it, but I do. I'm also pointing out that, you know, you've fine-tuned your program so much that you don't, it's almost like you don't have time to deal with anyone who's not a good fit, you know?
I feel like I'm a Jedi master in training. Like I'm getting, I have hits and misses.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm aware. I'm way more aware. You and I have taught each other to be more aware of.
Yeah.
Dude, you got like how many like minutes or seconds does it take you to realize this is your client or not?
I can sometimes, and this is from a lot of practice, but I can tell sometimes in the text message, just in a brief text message. But yeah, I often have, I try to keep my phone calls down to 3 minutes or less, you know? And, I mean, there's so many tactics for each different scenario too, though, like it's case by case, right? But yeah, it doesn't take long to find out, but at the same time, you know, you have to develop that intuition, that instinct, because also you could jump to conclusions, and I've done that before too, you know. We have to look out for red flags, but we also have to listen. I think that's been the biggest thing I've learned in the last, you know, year or so, is really listen to that person, what they're telling me. And if I still don't, am not identifying their problem that they're trying to get a solution for, it's not just fixing a dent. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's about, like, are we the best fit for each other? You know, because if they're just going on and on about price, and that's an objection of sorts that we're going to have to get past that barrier. Like, okay, what is your concern with the price? I mean, you really don't care about the quality. Well, I do care about the quality, but your price is okay. Well, let's see if we can find some middle ground here. But if we can't, then, you know, I'm okay with you moving on to greener pastures.
What do you mean by middle ground? Are you saying you negotiate a little bit with them?
I'm open to negotiating, uh-huh. You know, and I don't mean just giving money away. I mean, I'm open to figuring out a repair plan that where we could possibly take something out of our initial assessment.
I've been a hard ass, dude. Like, and you, I thought you were, I'm sorry, Joe, but I mean, nothing against, but no, I thought you were a hard ass too, dude.
I am a hard ass.
Me and you were like, I was a hard ass dude, but anyways, go ahead.
You know, I've learned that, I mean, you still have to earn a living, you know, but also if you can solve, like, let's just get past the price for a second.
Okay.
And stop thinking about what's in it for us, you know, which is ultimately the goal is to turn a profit, right? And that makes sense. You know, but we also have to remember we're here to serve somebody, and sometimes we can solve their problem let me go back. You mentioned
this is interesting. Like I said, I'm a Jedi in training. I don't even consider myself a Jedi yet, dude. But anyways, I got a lightsaber, and that's about it. But go ahead, dude.
Come on, give yourself some credit, man. You know, I've seen Toledo.
I am so humble to learn all the time. Like, but I don't like to learn egotistically. You know,
we're growing, dude. You know, and I think that's what's happening here is like in our conversations that we're constantly having about this stuff. We're growing and we're challenging ourselves in many different ways. And this is not to congratulate ourselves for that, but to encourage our friends who are watching to, you know, challenge yourself and develop your mind mm-hmm. but in the spirit of serving other people, because that's truly what this is. I mean, you know, we're not saving lives here. We're not, you know, superficial to some degree, you know, like fixing a dent. I mean, what is that? You know, like honestly, Mike, years ago, I had this weird epiphany that I didn't want to do PDR. You know, I'm talking like probably 20 years ago, and I didn't want to do it anymore because I felt like it was shallow and superficial. And what am I doing with my life and stuff? And then I tried something else for a little bit. And man, I kept getting calls is what it was. People still wanted me to do their dents and stuff. And it's like, well, I came to this realization. It's like, people want what you're offering, you know, what you're a PDR technician, and I'm not just talking to you, Mike. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to our listeners. They want what you're offering, and I don't care what level of PDR technician you are. You know, like we said, if you're fixing little dents, big dents, or something in between, or maybe you don't think you're where you need to be, but somebody wants what you're selling, okay? And they need you to do your best, what you have to offer, your right. version of
well, this I agree with that. I'm going to add to that too. I think I was talking to Vadim and Jack, you know, on a, I missed their podcast and give me an invite, but anyways, long story short, what I'm trying to get at though is, or add, is they want to be able to trust you.
Yeah.
Right. They'll give you their money, but why? Yeah. Why should they trust you to use your service? They want to, but give them a good reason to trust.
That's right. Trust you. Yeah. And if you're coming at them with, this is the mistake I've made for a long time, is that I'm coming at them with, well, we have to stay within this price range because this size and this and that, and I'm all talking only about myself and my own program, it's hard for them to trust me at that point.
That's right.
And that's not to say I'm just ready to bend over here. It's not that at all. It's about listening to them and figuring out what their problem is. Because you can have the same identical dime sized door ding, right? On the same location on two different cars. Same model, same year car, right? Two different customers. You know, maybe they're next door neighbors, right? Let's just say this hypothetical scenario, the same exact dent, right? Same depth, same location, everything the same. But one person can settle for less and one person cannot. Or one person wants a low price repair. One person wants a very good repair.
Yeah, excellent. Right.
Mm-hmm. One values, that's called perceived value, right? They both people value the dent, the repair of the dent differently. They perceive it differently. So one of those is your ideal client and one of them isn't. You know, and you have to decide which one. So because one of them is a high level problem and one of them is a low level problem.
Yeah, right? You gotta decide which one you want to market to.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no shame in choosing the low level problem. There's really isn't. But that's a different business altogether. I mean, I think where you and I have been going with this advanced PDR stuff, and you know, others are calling it something else, and that's cool too. You know, like, but by trying to work with the insurance, and we're trying again. Another episode, maybe it was a year or two ago, we talked about the Blue Ocean Strategy in a book that I was reading about. Wanting to differentiate in my market from the local competitors. And this book just illustrated it so well about saying, you know, imagine fishermen, you know, fishing in the blood red ocean where they're all fighting for the same fish and they can't, they're just overfishing the area and they're just cutting each other's throats left and right. And then there's a fisherman way out in the blue ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his pick of whatever the large fish, you know, what he wants. And he's using different equipment, different bait, different tactics. And that's what we were looking at. And so you and I have been venturing off into this realm of, you know, dealing with insurance claims and presenting this on another level and doing some pretty complex repairs as a result. It helps to know our way around these things so that, you know, we can streamline it because we push those limits, going back to those limits, you know, we push the limits and then we can see where our limits are, you know, or the limits of PDR and what makes sense to do and what doesn't. And then we're going to find our own sweet spot and work within that realm.
Yeah, today I put a video out. I put a video basically not teaching the process, showing the process, right? Because I'm actually going to have a teaching version pretty soon anyways. But mainly But through that, towards the end of the video, I put a price. Mm-hmm. I said, this price on this type of repair will average between $350 to $500.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, I think you saw that, Joe.
Yeah, it was a good video.
But my point is that what did I do right there, Joe?
You were transparent.
Very transparent. And I had my bait and I threw it out there. And I'm looking for clients who are willing to pay between $350 to $500
yes.
for that type of dent.
You're presenting to your ideal client.
So basically what I have, ladies and gentlemen, I have a bucket and I pull it up and there's got a net. And right now I'm throwing back, that video is throwing back the fish I don't want.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not even a bucket, but technically it's a freaking reel and the little fish can't even hit it because they know they can't take a big bite off that thing because there's nothing, it's too big. So I'm just trying to kind of give a metaphor to people why I do what I do.
Yeah. An analogy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, man. An
analogy. Yeah. There you go.
So why wouldn't you go for a lot of little fish then, Mike, you know?
Oh, I still do.
Use the analogy.
But here's the cool thing. I get some of the little fish, but those little fish care about the high quality, so they're going to pay a premium, $195, $205 for a door ding.
Yeah. But right? Still, so that's like a bigger fish because you're, you know, that it's more than just that $195 that you're getting on the lower end of your pricing spectrum. That's still a big fish, in my opinion, because to them, it's a big problem. That little dent's a big problem. Just think of what that, okay, so that little dime-sized dent that maybe you charge $195 or $250 or whatever for, to them, that was a big problem. When they come in 6 months from now with a 4 or 5 inch dent, they're going to understand that it's going to be, you know, $700 or whatever, you know, right? Or if they come in with a minor collision hit at the bottom of their door that somebody swung too, you know, too wide and bumped them in the parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to be okay with filing a claim because, or paying, you know, in the four digits out of pocket because they know that they can trust you. So to me, that's still a big fish.
Of course it is, Joe. That's you. Look, that is the introduction of you building a relationship, a loyal relationship with your client, right? Yeah. Because then they can trust you. They can trust you because if you can fix my little dent and I like the experience I had with you, there ain't no doubt in my mind when I get a bigger dent, I'm calling you first because I like the experience you gave me along with. Now they're going to say, because I trusted you, but that's subconsciously what they're doing. They're comfortable with you. When you're comfortable, they trust, right?
That's right.
And that's... This is a two-way street. I'm not trying to pull in big money off the thing. I'm trying to pull a relationship that I can build with a client that will I can benefit from and they can benefit from me from, right? Yeah. I feel like it's necessary to not ignore the smaller stuff, but just like, look, Joe, it's so easy, right? You know, promote what avatar you're looking for, what client you're looking for. I want high-end clients. Not people who are going to, like, I'm trying to hit home runs off of, but people who appreciate the value that I offer for a premium price, right? It's kind of like you walk, again, I say this analogy too. You walk into Louis Vuitton or Chanel or with your wife, she's not going to Walmart or she's not going to Kohl's and she's not even going to, like, I forgot those other purse places. She's going there because she's expecting the quality, but she knows she's going to pay a premium for that. Okay. Designer purse, whatever it is, right? I'm just using an analogy, and it could be anybody's wife. That's the same type of client that's what I keep visualing. Dent Evo, visualing Dent Time, visualing, you know, Dent Demon. Any of these people right there, they're having that vision about this is the type of PDR company they're dealing with, right? Premium. Yeah. Right.
And yeah, for sure. And that's the level that we want to present our business at, you know, and you mentioned Dent Demon, and one of, again, another one of our friends and in on social media and in Florida, right? And if you guys have a chance, if you don't know who Dent Demon is, check out
Derek Kessler.
Check him out on Instagram.
It's badass, dude.
And yeah, he's got an amazing shop, and he is set up for his ideal client. He knows who his client is, and it's very clear. And he's utilizing the power of these little boxes, you know, and just
they're both Grace and him are doing a fantastic job. Grace is, she's doing a great job behind the scenes, but yeah,
they're awesome. They're communicating.
Have you met him? Have you ever met Derek?
I never have personally.
You like him, dude. Like at first, you're not sure. Like, I'm going to be true impressions, because I always give people impressions, dude. When I met Derek, I wasn't sure. But then, like, I wasn't sure if I got the guy. That's what I meant. I'm talking about like that. I'm like, I'm not sure if I get this guy. But he's a very down to earth dude, man. And guess who's even more down to earth, dude? You got to go, Joe?
I got to plug in my my battery. Keep talking, man.
I personally think, ladies and gentlemen, with Derek is that he is who he is because of his wife, dude. I mean, his wife is awesome. Her name's Grace. And do you know she was a police officer?
No, I wasn't aware.
Yeah, dude, she was a police officer. So... But you would never know it because she doesn't have an attitude like a police officer. Does that make sense? Like most police officers. I got some friends who say they got to be like that. But anyhow, you would never know it. She's a great gal. And I think she has a lot to do with behind the scenes on with Derek. But
they make a good team.
Yeah, they make a great team.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. You know, that's priceless, actually. And it shows in the... in their social media and the way they present their business and the way they've designed their shop and their lobby, which I imagine his wife must have done the styling, the interior decorating.
That's what I heard. But I mean, really God dang, dude, that thing looks like a balling out franchise, like club, like you want to lounge in there. Like you want to chill out.
Yeah. You know? Well, he's creating an experience. That's exactly ideal client.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that can also be done on multiple levels, you know, depending on who you want to deal with. And this is all like, it doesn't just have to be, like I mentioned, you mentioned the client avatar, like your ideal client, and we know who that is and what the price bracket is, but I mean, I still think that it can be done on other levels, you know, maybe for somebody who's not trying to go for like high ticket PDR sales, but maybe go for the convenience of, you know, a quicker repair. But the problem is that on that level, a lot of guys got into this, and we did it too way back when, but where we thought it was just about price, and they think there's still a lot of guys who do that. They think it's about price and they gotta be price competitive. You know, what is price competitive? You know, like just because some ding dong out there is doing things for really, really cheap. Now you have to do it that cheap too. I mean, then what happens is everything goes out the window. Quality, the innovation, you don't have the,
and they don't realize it, Joe. That's what's so scary.
It is, but it's not anymore, because I used to lose sleep over it, dude, you know, but it's not because I don't anymore, because I realize it's not them I'm even competing with at this point.
Yeah, now, that's what I said.
Now we're competing with the body shops. Here's the thing.
I think if they were like had some type of awareness, because it's not just because, hey man, you're too cheap. Well, that doesn't listen, Joe. We perceive, and then there's perception, and then there's what perceive, right? Like, I want to get your perspective and perception. I'm sorry. There you go. Right. Okay. Let me be in the perspective of them.
In their shoes.
You tell me, hey man, you're so freaking cheap. You need the freaking rage. What are you doing to this industry? So I'm going to think at you and go, you're an asshole, man. Why are you attacking me, man? Why don't you just worry about yourself? I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do. That's generally the mentality, right? That's what I would probably say if someone attacked me that way.
But yeah, you back somebody. But if I had corner.
Somebody says, hey man, do you have a moment? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I understand you do PDR and I know you do really good work, but has anyone ever told you that? Are you really looking for, what type of clients are you looking for? Are you looking to just make this type of money or are you making this money? Because I just want to, I'm just curious because a lot of people don't realize why they're charging what they're charging. Because subconsciously they think that, like you said, it's about price. But if I'm clear on who I want consistently, well, now I have more focus and more goal and I'm more aware about the customer I'm doing every time. And I'm also aware that now that I'm not doing that and undercutting myself, I'm not working twice as hard either. Right. I am throwing back more fish, but I'm getting better quality and bigger ones that'll help me last longer too, as well. I don't think people understand the reason why they're doing it. They know that they're too cheap, but they don't have the answer to why, how they can change it. And I'm not saying you and I have an answer, but there's at least some questions to be answered. There's some answers there, multiple different answers, not just one.
Right.
That makes sense, or I just go off on the side, dude?
No. I know what you're saying, man. I really think it's about, while you're saying that, I'm thinking like, okay, it's about systems, really. You know, like your system might be a low price system or it might be a higher price system.
What I'm saying though, Joe, is that their mentality first has to be, you can't, any system you try to have or create or do, if you don't have that mentality first that, hey, listen, this is what I need to make a change for myself, or I need to go in this direction. It's not that someone's bad, but I'm not telling anybody who's bad or good in that type of way. It's the thinking I'm just talking about. That's all it is.
Well, some people are.
Yeah.
Some people do shitty work, man. I mean, and they get paid for it and they get 5-star reviews, you know?
And it's
hard to, it used to be very hard for me to stomach that, you know, but I realized that's not my client. It really isn't. You know, I mean, there's Earl Scheib and then there's, you know, Amato's Collision Center, you know what I mean? Like really super high level collision centers or.
No, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm just gasping. Dude. Well,
there's just different tiers, man. And we always say it, everyone's not your customer, you know, but I just know that I have struggled in the years that I've used the pricing guide and tried to get top dollar. You know, I don't get all the customers.
But you're getting more of them now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I found.
Don't you think that has something to do with you evolving yourself about being more comfortable with yourself, more intuitive to your client, more, like you said, you listen more. And then now you kind of, you know, basically, hey, listen, let's see if we can meet in the middle, which is a great, I meant to tell you that, which is a great suggestion, because that doesn't sound like, hey, let's negotiate. That doesn't sound that way. It sounds like, hey, listen, I'm willing to help you. Let's meet in the middle. I mean, that's more of a soft invite to say, listen, hey, let's keep talking here. Let's see where you're thinking. So.
Yes. I feel like, I lost my point, but
sorry, Joe.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You know, like I talked to an adjuster just last week, right? And long story short, customer brought in their Beamer, 3 Series. It's a lease. he was up in the local mountains, and some ice fell out of a tree, out of a pine tree, and on his car. And it put small dents throughout various panels. The top surfaces, all three top surfaces, roof rail, and the quarter panels, the top of the quarter panels. And first I thought it was hail. And I thought, okay, you know, we'll deal with it like it's a hail job. Well, it turned out it wasn't, you know, he told me it was ice balls at first. And I thought, oh, he meant hail. But as I listened more and he explained what happened, I thought, okay. So I had him bring it to the shop, and I gave him I measured everything out. I looked at everything under the light, and I didn't even mark everything up, because I don't waste a lot of time doing that anymore. I give them an idea what the cost is going to be. And it's very easy at that point to say, look, this is going to be more than your deductible. You might consider filing a claim. And if you do, we can work with your insurance. Or if you want to pay out of pocket, here's what the estimate, you know. So it turned out to be like a $4,500 estimate. I didn't hear from him for about a month. And I did a follow-up, and then he still was kind of on the fence. Anyway, he calls back about a month later, which is fast forward to like a week ago. And he tells me, Joe, I got two other estimates, and in addition to yours, and these were PDR estimates. And one, he goes, you were right, because I conditioned them now. I tell them now, and I told him during our first assessment of the job, like, I encourage you to go, because he was talking about he was going to get multiple estimates. And I told him, I encourage you. I said, but I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to get prices that are all across the board. You're going to get some that are very low. You may even get, if you go to a body shop, they may even give you a lower price estimate than I do. But keep in mind, here's what I'm doing, and here's what a lot of these guys are doing. Okay. Well, he comes back and he ends up telling me, like, I got these two other estimates for PDR. One was $700 and one was $350. And here's mine at $4,500, dude. Can you believe that? And I didn't.
I believe it. Yeah. But I believe, I do.
Well, so then the adjuster calls me, you know, but he wants to do it. He decides to, you know, he wants me to do it. And he did ask me, you know, point blank, like, Joe, you know, he goes, I just want to know, like, what justifies your estimate being so much higher? I didn't expect it to be so much far away from these other guys. And the old me would have been kind of offended and, you know, kind of frustrated. But I've realized my job now is to educate. And I informed him. I let him know, you know, like here's why. Here's what I'm going to do. And this is what the outcome that you can expect. And I try to do it very concisely and simple. It's not easy for me to do that, because I think out loud. You know, I do it on this podcast. I'm probably doing it right now. But nonetheless, it was what he wanted to hear. He decided he wants to go ahead and do it. So we talked about filing a claim. He's going to file a claim, and there's a whole list of things to do at that point to acclimating him to what to expect. Everything I told him what to expect has happened, right? Including that, hey, the insurance company is going to dig their feet in. They're going to delay things because they ultimately want you to go and, you know, deal with their preferred body shop. Why? Because it's cheaper for them and it keeps you in their network. But you have the right to use whomever you choose. And you're going to tell them that you want to use Dan Evo.
Do you think, like, I'm going to back up to where the part you said wanted you to explain why you were so much more. But what I saw, what you just mentioned, is, again, you jumped into the perspective of why he was asking that question. Instead of being the defensive part of your emotion, you jumped into a perspective emotion, went over to his side, and kind of was like, hey, I'm going to spend $4,500 on you. If I'm going to spend $4,500 on you, give me a reason to trust you, why I should use you, Joe.
Yeah.
And so that was your opportunity to not give the vibe that you were pissed off because you answered that question, but you gave a perspective answer. Yes. For him. Does that make sense?
Yes. Some of it was like custom tailored to hit, you know, what he was asking me, like meaning like, okay, you're asking me a question about, you know, where's the value in this? Okay. I'm going to tell you what the value is on it, but I'm also going to tell you how I justify the price, like how I come up to that price. And, you know, it really was as simple as telling him, like, look, I base the price on the size, the depth, the accessibility, and even the metal type for each individual dent. I'm looking at each individual dent that you and I discussed. I'm talking to the customer at this point, the prospect at this point. And I said, remember when we talked about the dent on the side of your roof, on the roof rail, we talked about the main dents that bother you the most that were on the hood nearest the windshield. And then I pointed out these five other smaller dings. And I said, I'm accounting for all the dents, and the outcome is to make them completely disappear. What we call factory spec. Are you sure that these other gentlemen who gave you a quote for 700 and one for 350 are accounting for all those things? I said, because what happens a lot in the car business, not only in our industry, is that people really want your business, and I want your business too, but they want your business so bad that they're willing to set a price that will make you decide you want to go with them. You know, like they, a price, you an offer you can't refuse. But if you are wanting to make this pre-dented condition, like to the full level, get everything fixed, this is what the cost is. Now, if the cost is an issue to you, if you don't want those five little dings that I pointed out, you just want those main dents out. I mean, you did tell me it was a lease, and I get that. We can just do the five dents, and we're just going to price for those dents, you know? But it's getting very specific. And this is my ideal client because he wanted very specific and detailed, right? So he said, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. And where I was going was that the discussion with the adjuster last week, he called me, which is rare like anymore. It's like, that's another problem. It's like a lot of adjusters just want to deal through email. But this guy got on the phone with me, and right away he came out of his corner swinging, and which I expected. But I listened to him. I talked with him. I found out information about, you know, where he's been, and he's I found out he recently went to Colorado and was working on a cat team for Hale, and his big thing, excuse me. His big ace in up his sleeve, so to speak, his bargaining chip was that he says, Joe, look, I've worked on a cat team recently in Colorado, and man, your price is like way higher than the matrix that they're using. And I said, okay. And
they should be. They should be lower. But anyways, yeah, go ahead.
Well, he said, my price is higher than what they were getting. And
yeah.
And I let him go on. I didn't get defensive. I'm learning to not get defensive and not, you know, not start validating and supplicating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know? That's a good dude. That's so good, dude. Like, because honestly, that's what we do, right?
It's hard not to, man.
You feel like you didn't do your job, right? You didn't feel like you stuck up for yourself, or you felt defeated because you didn't get the last word, or you get your thought like, hey, it is the insecurity statement, shall I say, right?
Well, yeah, if you're trying to defend yourself right away. Instead, I asked him about, you know, how long he was doing, you know, the cat team, and you know, I wasn't kissing his ass or anything, but I was like, I was genuinely interested because I wanted to find out, okay, where are you coming from here? Because the first thing is like, and I didn't tell him this right away, but what I eventually told him was like, look, I said, I get where you're coming from. And I, that's not the first time I've heard that, you know, what you're telling me, that my price is seemingly you know, way high compared to hail. Well, I'll remind you, this, first of all, this isn't hail damage. It was caused by ice, but it's not hail damage. It was probably a lot less. I didn't tell him this, but it was probably not nearly as hard as hail damage because it wasn't, you know, all over the vehicle. But
yeah.
But nonetheless, what I did tell him was, you know, we don't get, or I know what it was. He said, but, you know, because he's from Garden Grove, you know, he lives in OC, and he said, well, you know, I know we don't get hail out here. And I said, well, you nailed it on the head. You know, I kind of gave him that one. I said, you nailed it. You hit the nail on the head because you're right. We don't get hail out here. So therefore, any hail matrix in my world is irrelevant. What we do use is our own matrix. It's called a pricing guide. And this is where we determine the price based on the size, depth, location, accessibility, and metal type. And that's how we come up with the price. And anyway, what we were doing there is we were connecting. We were building a little bit of a banter, a rapport. But he knew I wasn't getting defensive to anything he was saying. He was initially trying to provoke and see if I would react. And I didn't react. So instead, what happened was he realized, okay, this guy's being reasonable. I think he was thinking, because I was being reasonable. But because he straight up said, Joe, look, if I present this estimate to my boss, he's going to tell me to you know, to tell you to go pound sand. Like, work with me here. He goes, this is kind of a ridiculous estimate. And I said, well, look, I said, I hear what you're saying. And I said, let's work on this together. I said, so basically what it came down to was the hood was the one that was closer to conventional. Because it was 1500 and change, right? That's where the majority of the damage was. Everything else, though, was way, way less than conventional. And I pointed that out to him. After all that said and done, we ended up negotiating on the R&I cost. And because I asked for $185 per hour for R&I, right? And because the local certified, you know, mechanic shops at the dealerships, Mercedes or whatever, they're going to be over $200. And I told them that. I said, we price it just under those guys. I said, but that's not to say we can't be flexible on that. So his was his maximum body rate, body labor rate. He goes, can we do it at our maximum body labor rate, which was $77 and something cents, right? And I said, okay. And I said, you know, I was looking at the numbers and I was like, well, that if we do that, that will reduce the cost. I also had, again, starting with the Paul Cordon high and heavy estimate, I also included pre and post scan with a scan tool, right? Mm-hmm. Scanning the vehicle. Yeah. And as it turns out, you know, that was just a formality, you know, because insurance will pay you for that.
They do. Every shop does it now. Every shop does it now.
Yeah, every shop. It's normal to do that. But we talked about, okay, I'm the only R&I I was going to be doing was removing the hood from the vehicle, right? But I wasn't going to be unplugging any components. So we both talked about that, about, hey, there's no electrical components being unplugged here. So guess what? He goes, well, you know, then there doesn't need to be any pre and post scan, right? And I said, yeah. You're darn right. I said, it's just a formality, really.
I just want to make sure you're talking about the adjuster, not the client, right?
Not the client. I'm talking to the adjuster. All right. So, because he's negotiating a price and I had that listed at 250, right? So we're cutting down my estimate, but we're also taking things away. You know, we're also kind of like, that's one thing I don't have to do. You know, some might argue you should do a pre and post scan on every car you work on. I don't know that I would agree with that necessarily, but it's probably not a bad idea just to do it anyway. And I just might start doing that.
You know why? Do you know why I was told to do it?
Why?
Because if they're going to take something away, that's something you can afford to give away. You know what I mean? Because you probably weren't going to do it anyways. I mean, I'm not saying it was necessary. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So the more you have in there and they want to negotiate,
well,
as if you didn't have it on there and you didn't have all these other things on there, then they're cutting down what's already there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's, I don't want to say it's padded because it's not padded, but
no.
The truth is you know, it's something, it's a negotiable, because when I put it on my estimate, I honestly was thinking, because I'm R&I and I was just so focused on everything, just including everything and being 100% by the book. But then it dawned on me, like, I don't really need to unplug any electrical components, right? But anyway, that's another conversation, whether we should do pre and post scan on every single car. But nonetheless, we took that off and that reduced the cost. So, and then we negotiated on the five small dings on the hood that were, I told them, okay, so according to our pricing guide, and this is where the system is very important, because I could justify every single thing, justification, right, again, you know? And I said, look, the five small dings, because he was trying to get me to just lower the price, right? But I wasn't going to just give that to him. I was willing to, and he knew I was willing to negotiate. But I said, here's what we're going to do. Let's look at those five little dings that you said, you know, he was asking me to do lower the price from on that hood from 1500 to something else. Right. I said, here's what we can do then. I said, for those five small dings, they're accessible, but they're on aluminum. So additional small dings on each panel, on the same panel that we're already working on, start at $80, but because they're aluminum, because the metal's aluminum, each of those small dings are 120 or 125, whatever it was with the added percentage, right? But what I can offer you is we can instead do those for the minimum price, which is $80 per small ding. And this is not the three larger dents that are like within the 2-inch range and 1-inch medium. You know what I mean? We were getting granular, okay? But it was a way to negotiate a price and make a win-win. Yeah. So at the end of this whole exchange, it went from a $4,500 estimate to just over $4,000. And yeah, it reduced the cost. I mean, we did talk about doing a conventional repair estimate. I brought that to him too. I said, look, would it be easier for you to justify all of this to your supervisor if I just create in CCC1, a conventional estimate that shows what this whole repair would be if it goes conventional? He says, yes, that would, but I don't want you to do that. He said, I don't want you to do that, Joe, because that's just more effort and it's going to take things longer. What he was really telling me, or what I was getting from him, was that he doesn't want me to do that because it can be more and we might end up getting justified a higher price.
Exactly what he was saying.
Exactly.
Right? You're like, well, hold on a second. We'll just cut it right here.
Yeah.
Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Joe? Because I wanted to get touch base on one subject before we go, because this is a little longer podcast, but hey, I'm sure people are going to like to catch up here.
Well, I'm sorry, man. I hope I'm not boring the shit out of you.
No, hell no. No, dude, this is so catch up podcast on kind of a lot of different topics, which is great.
Well, I think so. I was done. I mean, we settled on 4,000 and change for this job that my local competitors were offering 350 and one was offering 700 for. So what does that tell you? I mean, it's just a different client, different customer. It's a different system. And yes, it is negotiable because I negotiated with this adjuster. Now, this is a weird scenario because the adjuster was actually giving me the time of day, which a lot of times they don't. And I appreciated that. So I was willing to work with him. Guess what? I want to work with that guy again.
Yeah.
You know, I hope I get other customers who have that adjuster. Which
insurance company was it, by the way?
It was Costco. It was
really?
Yeah, it was like Family Connect or something like that.
And he didn't have enough experience, Joe, not to give you enough hard time then.
I hate to think that. And I feel like that's kind of the last of a dying breed, because I think everything's going remote now, you know, the apps and everything. And it unfortunately really comes down to, and there's tactics for that too, right?
I'm on, hold on a second. Hold on. So what I was getting at, Joe, is like the okay, so I had to get insurance, right, for a vehicle. I bought it like a daily driver, a Civic. And to get insurance now, okay, first of all, I called one of my insurance companies. They don't answer the phone now. Yep. It says, oh, you need to go on the app, or we don't add claims to your policy now. You have to go through the app. We have like two different like companies. So I go on the apps. There's nobody to talk to. So you have to submit your thing, right? And then they say it takes up to 15 days, dude, to freaking get back to you. They said, oh, well, you're not covered for 15 days.
Right.
I'm trying to get at is that these insurance companies are all messed up. But it's just a big mess. But here's what I want to get on the subject before I lose my train of thought, which I did. Glute pulling, lateral tension, the perpendicular tension, the towers, the tabs. Mm-hmm. I'm training students who are practically almost, not completely, almost on the same level as you and me now, dude. Like glute pulling.
Right.
And these techs are learning within weeks. Correctly, I mean, and understanding the tension. I'm not talking about finishing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting the meat to about 80%, right? I mean, you can see a lot more on body shop guys are doing it now. You can see it, right?
Yeah.
Because they understand this so much. Look how different. Where are we going to be at, Joe, in 5 years, dude? Like, I know it seems like it's a long time, but it's not. It's in a blink of an eye, dude.
Yeah.
5 years. What do you think we're going to be doing with glue and tension?
Wow, man. I think it's hard to say, dude, but I feel like the real innovation is the price you're getting for the repair, because what you mentioned, so the new blood and the new trainees are getting that when they have the equipment and the time to put into something like that, they can do wonders, but it's always going to come down to, do you have the time to do that? And by time, I mean, are you getting paid enough to do those repairs? Because you can do the worst, fix the gnarliest dents that, around. You can be really good at that. But if you're not understanding how to negotiate a price that is going to validate you innovating your business, your service, your mind to do that, it's not, you're going to take the easy way out and, I'm not going to glue that one. I'm not going to use lateral tension on that. And, I've done that too. I still go and do mobile a little bit. And when I do, I think, well, I can reposition this car and strap it to a tree, but there, this customer, the dealership, when I go mobile, it's at a local dealership group that I still service, those cars, I'm doing them for volume rate, and it's hard to want to take the time and invest the time that I'm doing into these, that I'm putting into my ideal clients. Does that make sense?
It does.
It sounds bad.
What I was trying to get at though, Joe, is like, the systems too, like, which one do you pick? Right now, for tech, a guy who doesn't like have a lot, like have those tools in his hands, like me, in fortunate to have some of those tools. I still don't have Kiko's latest one. I was still got to get my hands on that one, but the retention, I've used that is consistent. It works. This isn't a pitch for anybody either, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you based on my experience, the retention, I think it's the most costly one out there. I did see, I'm going to be quite frank, I did see Metal Medic looks like his, he pretty much copied the retention one. It looks like it to me. It looks very similar to that, which, you know, I have my feelings on that. I'm not going to go too crazy on that, but there's the Cam Autos, right? Mm-hmm. I had a chance to use that, but I don't have my full feedback on it yet because I will have it on Dent Trainer Joe. I got to show you some clips of it.
Okay.
What happens is that neither tension system was working for this repair, but it did help. And what I ended up doing is using the Cam Auto first. I felt the feet were diving in, and this is the body line one, but this is a very light dent car. It was one of those Prius dents. I think I showed it to you, Joe. So I switched it, put the retention system on, and it was diving, but I found out it really wasn't it had nothing to do with the tension system. Right. It was just how soft the panel was.
So when you say it was diving, do you mean like the feet of the machine that was kind of dipping? Like
you can see my hands, but anyway, I'll describe. It's the back
end. It's creating like footprint.
Yeah. Okay. The back end of the foot. Okay. And they're about they're about 5 inches length, maybe six.
Right.
And then the Cam Autos are about 4 inches, right?
Yes.
And the back of the foot dives down, right?
Yeah.
Now Cam Auto has another one that helps the dive. So it has a screw and it lifts up the foot, the back end of the foot more and helps balance the pull from outward. I didn't get a chance to use that one yet. So I really don't have a review for you guys. But anyways, what I'm getting at is, which I'll show in video sometime, not in this thing, but down the line, is that I did have perpendicular tension as well below the crown, like not on the crown, just below the crown on this case, because I wanted to tap down too.
Okay.
With that tension and the perpendicular, it was starting to dive and I was like, okay, let me do the perpendicular. And as soon as I pulled the perpendicular, boom, it just went popped. It was still a little bit in the middle, mm-hmm. Joe. And the retention system automatically, because of the lateral tension, pulled the rest of it out on its own. I didn't touch it.
Right? Wow.
Pop in the middle, just boom.
Yeah. So
there's so much to learn. What I'm basically saying, Joe, there's so much to learn, man.
There really is. But like, let me ask you, so that retention system, what it's doing is it did the lateral tension, but you're also able to pull up perpendicular at the same time?
Yeah, because I didn't use that in that case, but I just flipped it down and I had the tower with the ratchet straps, right?
Gotcha.
And that's my go-to, honestly, because I have so much more control, I feel, with that. So
what's your go-to? That combination?
The combination.
Okay.
I do like, now that I understand the retention system so good, I feel like I'm much better with it. Like, okay, I know how to set this sucker up quick, right?
Yeah.
To me personally, it takes longer than most of the setups that I have.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Right.
It's worth it.
Yes. So. I don't have that, Mike. I still use the first generation Kiko lateral tension bar.
Yeah.
And then the second generation one. They're both basically an all thread bolt, you know, a long bolt. I think they're a little longer than they need to be, you know, but I mean, I guess I could shorten them and adapt them, but nonetheless, they work so nice. And it, at a glance, like, or when you look at it or when you see it on the panel, you think that it's going to take you longer to do a repair. And I'm talking about just using lateral tension, whether we're talking the ones I just described or the one you're describing, the retention system, it seems like it's going to be more work but it really makes less work out of the whole repair, even on small dents. And cause some of my buddies who are still mobile and they don't want to, I hear some guys saying like, no, I don't, you know, I don't have time to do that, you know, cause I got to get onto the next job. It's like, look, you know, that's going to make your job even quicker, or at least your repair is cleaner, because like I'm using the lateral tension device on small but kind of deep dents that are in the center of a big flimsy panel, on Kia metal, for example, yeah. And it's kept me from having to take everything apart and zapping the thing with a arc machine.
Yeah. That's why I use it. I think we're going to get into this, Joe, I don't want to cut us off, but it's close to 1.5 hours, but this is something that we're going to set this topic up for a future.
Yeah. Podcast. We kind of came in without any,
absolutely did. And I don't think anybody's going to complain about it because I feel
like I kind of went on at some tangents here, but I was also kind of
who cares? It's called the fast forward button, dude. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true. or just put it in fast talk.
I sound good
in 2X.
this is what we do. Like, I already told people this is what we do. We vent, right?
And
we
deep dive, right?
We talk what's on our mind, and I think that's. It's real. We're just ourselves. We try to be ourselves as much as possible. Yeah. Right. So,
yeah, for sure. I know we got to get going. But earlier I was trying to say a little bit about, I started to touch upon, and I'll make this brief, but I started to touch upon how, using the pricing guide for so many years, I kind of struggled at getting the prices I wanted, but I was making the mistake of telling myself that, oh, my price is too high. I was focused on competition who were much lower price, but I wasn't thinking enough about, okay, what else is going on here? Really? I mean, maybe I don't fully believe in what I'm at that price, or maybe I'm not focused enough on serving the customer, or this prospect and truly understanding what their problem is. And then seeing if I can develop a solution for them, And I think that really was where things have clicked for me in using the pricing guide. So if anybody is listening to this right now and is struggling with getting the prices that they want, my suggestion is, instead of focusing so much on the price and what you think you believe the price should be, listen to them. Listen to what they're saying, what they're telling you, and then answer them and be okay with if they're not the right fit for you, if you're not the best fit for them, be okay with letting it go. But you do have to have those leads coming in, because that was the other part of the problem that I was having. I wasn't getting enough leads in. And so I know that if I get a certain amount of calls each week, if I close a certain percentage of those and my average ticket is X amount, I can count on and project a certain amount and not feel so bad when one calls me up and we're not the best fit.
Yeah, no, I think that's a thing that we need to keep talking on is like, just Joe, there's a lot more at risk when you have to pay bills, man. Right. And you come at the client differently than you would when you don't have anything to lose. Right.
Yes.
So, when you have something to lose, look, you're low on the books, like you want to make that money, and now you're just dropping your pants. Not saying that, but I'm talking in general for techs out there. It's hard to stay consistent when you have inconsistencies with your business, man. So let's talk about some solutions maybe on our next podcast coming up. That'll be a topic coming there. If that sounds good to you guys can comment and let us know. We'll have this on Facebook, probably YouTube. Yeah, we'll have it on YouTube and our podcast here, but you can let us know on the Facebook page. Interesting. Joe, that brings up an interesting topic there. So again, Joe, thanks a lot for coming on and we've been super inconsistent, mainly me, because I couldn't get us on. I couldn't connect. Finally, we're doing, we have so far, we have 4.5 hours recorded on the breakdown of the Rivian, which is still in the making. And with me and him, we're still finished in the series. There'll be a raw edit, meaning you can be the fly on the wall, watch the Rivian repair on Dent Trainer. There's a PDF file that you can download on there and see the estimate from the writer who wrote it. And there will be some downloads. It's kind of a podcast kind of series. Joe and I break down each one of those parts of the days into three segments. And so there is a ton of information on there on denttrainer.com. starting now, and it is a drip system. So as you watch, another video will release a day or two, or maybe a few days later, and then that's how you'll be able to keep up with it and go from there. So yeah, Joe, it's pretty interesting. Very good.
It's a lot to talk about, man.
It is. All right, so we'll see you guys on the next one. Talk to you guys later. Hasta.
Thank you.